class, and it's good because it's our last chapter, too, in the book. So we've just really, the Lord has really just kind of led us right through the whole book, you know, without really planning it. It just happened by His grace and His leading. And so this chapter is very short, and so I'm not sure how long the Lord is going to go today on this chapter. But we'll just see. But now next week is our big time of ministry, and how many people feel somewhat prepared, somewhat ready? Anybody? Any just silent? Okay. Well, I just really have been looking forward to it ever since the Lord, you know, spoke into my heart that He wanted to do that. So, how many people feel more prepared than they were, like, say, 3 weeks ago? That's awesome. Well, we may discuss, in the second part of the class, we may discuss more on that. I know the Lord has been preparing people. An example would be just last Tuesday night, Josiah got filled with the Holy Spirit. Spoke in tongues, yes he did. And yes, he got big time filled, and the whole Lord filled him up. And then right after that, he just got a tiny little touch of deliverance, which wasn't scary at all, was it? No. And so the Holy Spirit did a jump start on Josiah. Yeah. Did you? It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Amen. Well, and you know, that just brings something to my mind, that if somebody here, I don't know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be, which, let me just put in a short station break to do an advertisement on getting filled with the Holy Spirit. station break. This is funded by myself. This advertisement. Josiah and I were talking before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and just about how he was receiving a person, not static energy or power from on high or gifts that would make him dynamo minister man. He was receiving the sweet, gentle third person of the Godhead who is humble and meek and fills us with His heart for Jesus, shares with us how He sees Jesus, gives us His gifts so we can minister to the body more deeply, gives us His ability to pray and have the burden of God for others so we can pour out our hearts and intercede in ways that we wouldn't know how without Him speaking and moaning and interceding through us. It's a person we're receiving, and a person that we're giving Him full just ability to fill us with His beautiful life, lifting up Jesus, glorifying Jesus, revealing Christ in the Scriptures, presence. It's not a gift or a weird spooky experience or tongue-talking magic. It's a person. It's the third person of the Godhead. God symbolized Him by the most gentle of all creatures, a dove. He doesn't force His way in. He doesn't force you to do things you don't want to do once He's in there. He's just sweet, the sweet Spirit of God. And He comes to help us see Jesus where we could never see Him without the Spirit unveiled in Christ. So Josiah had some fear concerning getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and we understood why, and we discussed it and were real about it, and other people testified they felt that way too. But Josiah, it wasn't spooky or scary at all, was it? No, it was a good experience. And so if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I would suggest possibly getting ready to do that. And one of the best people who can get you filled with the Holy Spirit is Mike Gentry, and he's going to be here. I am a very safe, gentle person. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I'll just take you in a corner and pray for you to be filled, and I can be there for you. Debbie Nussbaum may be here. She's led hundreds of people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and just is a great, able minister in that area. If you want some more information, I think Amber or Josiah has a booklet you could read and a tape you can listen to. I would suggest reading through that booklet and listening to that tape before next Thursday if you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Hugely recommended, because it will give you all the scriptural references that you could probably find. And then also, once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got an in-man inside of there once it's time to do some deliverance, too. So if you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit first next Thursday, and then have the Lord begin to do some deliverance in the areas of the strongholds He's been working out of your life through this course, then, you know, let's go for the full meal deal and get the upsized French fries. You know, let's upsize the thing. Just have as much Jesus as we can get. So just be preparing your heart, because it certainly isn't a class you want to just stumble into. You want to be ready. You want to go home and have your order written out. Come in here and say, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to get out of agreement with this stronghold. I want deliverance in this area. And I want to be stirred up in the Holy Ghost and prayed over and inner healed. I mean, I'm ready. This and this and this and this and that area. And there's some of you who are just, you're just ready. You're ready and ready. Some of you are a little more hesitant and a little more, you know, confused. Well, the Lord's going to meet you where you're at. He's going to meet you where you're at. That's just the way He is. He's just precious like that. And so no fear, no pressure. Just continue in your heart where your desire is to be with Him in this time. So, seemed like there was one other thing. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. It just occurred to me that I know that many of you, the Lord has been kind of opening up areas of the enemy's stronghold in your life. How many people think that the enemy's happy that you're getting a little light on areas where he's been, like, running your life since you were born, almost? You think he's just going to sit back and go, oh, well, I lost him. It's over. You know, I lose, God wins. Now, come and say this. People who are listening online. No, that's so from the Lord. Can you say that one more time? Can you just try? For others who may need to hear that from the Lord through you. I'm proud of you for coming forward and doing that. It's okay. You can hold your hair down and I'll hold the mic for you.
All right.
You're
doing great.
All right. All right, a couple nights ago, I had this dream where there was this thing everyone was hanging on to. Some evil creatures, some not so evil creatures. It didn't really matter if they were good or evil. But there was this demon thing holding on to it too, and he had this whip. And as long as you were attached to that thing, then you weren't going to really get hit too badly or anything. But the moment you let go is when you were vulnerable to being attacked by this thing. If you try and dodge yourself, you're not going to make it. You're going to end up trying to latch back on so that you don't get hurt anymore, because it really does suck. But if you're going with Jesus, then you don't need to worry about dodging this way and that. And, you know, I woke up right before I was going to hit with that thing, and that's just what I was thinking, is instead of trying to dodge enemy attacks, going with God and just forgetting about the enemy, even though he's real in there, you know? Okay, thank you. Good job. Good job, Amber. So, you know, there's an intimidation factor that's... I would just bet money that many of you have maybe in this last week or the last 2 weeks had a counterattack from the enemy in the areas where you've been making progress. I was talking with someone about a week ago and I said, listen, right now you're flying high and experiencing victory. But circumstances will change, your feelings will change, things are going to happen, and you're going to feel like you've lost ground, and that the enemy has taken back some areas that you've had victory in. But what is Satan's realm? This is where we've got to integrate the things the Lord has been sharing with us. What is Satan's realm? Physical, that's right. Mm-hmm. The temporal, who, what is Satan's realm? Okay, well, she gave her answer. What would you say is Satan's realm, Josiah? The sense realm. Amen. Good. The world, your memories, good. Nicole? Everybody's going to give an answer. What is Satan's realm? That's right. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're not hanging on to, that's not Jesus. That's a good, good answer. Good answer. Catherine. The here and now. That's right. That's really good. Jonathan. No, got to be something different. The reality of what we're living every day. Okay. Rob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Very good. That's right. Now, when we say good answers, everyone, when we say Satan's realm, we're saying the only place. Now, I've taught this course 4 times, and I'm still learning, so how can I expect you to get it after 1 course? You know what I mean? His realm is the place where he can get us. If we're not in his place, then he can't get us. In other words, if we find our victory in our emotions, if we find our victory in that our mind is clear for a day, if we find our victory in the fact that we don't have nightmares for one night, or we aren't face-to-face with that person or that area that makes us feel freaked out, or we get face-to-face with them and we don't freak out, if that's our victory of victories, then we're still in Satan's realm and that victory can be stolen. In other words, let's say you get face to face with the person who just freaks you out, and they say something to you and you freak out. You can still make that a victory. How? What if I was saying this is your final? Okay, how could that be a victory? Rachel. Okay. I said, what if in my heart this was your final? Just seeing if you knew what the class is. No, okay, but here, let me put this away. And it's not a trick question, but you'd have to comprehend what this course has been teaching to really answer this correctly. Okay, let's say you get in a situation with the person that was that person that spoke evil identities into your life. And you saw them and they spoke evil identities into you. And you responded back by freaking out and crying. That sounds like you lost, doesn't it? How can that become a victory? Okay, that is a victory in the class called Christ Being Formed in You. And that is a true answer, and that is a good answer. But we're just going to think about this in the terms of spirit realm, sense realm. How can that be a victory based on what we've learned in this class? Debbie. Yeah, that would be part of it. That would be a good part of it, too. Keep thinking, keep turning. Think about yourself in that situation. Can you say that again? That's it. That's the answer. That's exactly right. You stop and you say, my victory, because my place is not in the fact that my emotions are right or wrong, that I did good or did bad in the circumstance. I am not in this realm. My identity is hid with Christ in God, above failures, above victories, above time, above space. Satan cannot touch me there. When I fail, He cannot touch me there. When I do good, He cannot touch. It's not based on how I do down here. My victory is based on what He's made me in the spirit realm. So you see what I mean? He's going to try to keep you going. He's going to try to keep you feeling like you're doing okay based on the fact that you never slip up down here. But we're not trying to get a perfect walk down here. In the Christ being formed in us class, we are. In this class, we're trying to find our identity above our performance in the earth. We're trying to find our reality in Him. First, we have to abide in Him. Then He will abide in us. So that can still be a victory if we don't let go of our faith in God's Word, in our identity, in the spirit realm, in Christ. And we say, no matter what, let God be true and every man be a liar. I open up my mouth and I'm going to use the what is the only offensive weapon the whole armor of God has that we can use that we learned about in this class. Who knows the answer? Specific word. Sword of the Spirit. Because we can stop in the middle of that defeat and say, I am a child of God. God's word says, now are ye the sons of God. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are risen with Christ in heavenly places. And you begin to speak that over you. You begin to stand in the face of Goliath, in the face of your failures, in the face of your fears, in the face of crying over the situation that makes you identify with your whole life's stronghold. And you start breaking with hard concepts. You start becoming, remember that we had a whole chapter on becoming broken good ground. Breaking with the enemy's hard concepts. Beginning to believe that they are not true, that the Word of God is true. No matter what you do, no matter what you manifest, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, God's Word is true, and you begin to be open to believing it. The brokenness is that your ground believes it, not that it's true or not. It's always been true. The brokenness is that you're saying, I'm going to believe it in face of sense realm opposition. In the face of the sense realm opposition that's saying to me, you're a failure, you're still in this stronghold because you can't get out of it by fighting. Now, trying to fight out of our stronghold with our own willpower in defeating the things in our emotions and in our experiences and in our minds is what kind of warfare? And what kind of weapons? Carnal warfare and carnal weapons. But what does 2 Corinthians 10 say brings down strongholds? Is able to bring down strongholds. Spiritual weapons that are powerful through God. Able to bring down strongholds. Spiritual weapons. What are spiritual weapons? What realm do spiritual weapons come from? The spiritual realm. Are they something that we do in the sense realm, or are they something we embrace by faith and identify with? That's right. You beginning to catch the difference? There's some place, I think it's in this, I think David said it. God makes my hands able to war. You know, He teaches my hands to war. And He teaches us how to be wiser than our enemies. He teaches us by revealing the finished work of the cross, by revealing who we are in Christ, by revealing the spirit realm reality. It has overcome the sense realm reality, and it's our realm now. And you know, it's like these things are, the more we hear them, the more they will be like laid into our hearts and they will make sense. But God wants them to do more than make sense in our lives. He's wanting them to be practical in our walk. You know, that's been the thing that God's doing. And so I really believe that so many of you have taken practical steps in your walk. It may seem to you like such a small thing, but if you have really taken one small step where you've tried to get out of agreement with stuff that has been your identity in the sense realm your whole life and hold on to Jesus in a new way by being with Him, You know, uniting with Him by faith in His realm, saying, I'm one with you based on what you say, what you've done, what's true in the Spirit, then you have started to break through old life patterns. You are making the transition from being an old creation to functioning as a new creation. You're starting that transition from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You're beginning that metamorphosis. You are. And that's a big deal. If you can do it in one small area, you can do it in every area. If you can take one hill, you can take the whole mountain. You can, because it's the same victory, it's the same life, it's the same word, it's the same principle that will work in you to take the whole hill. So that's why I'm just asking questions, because now is the time where some of these things should be making sense, and you know, it should start to come back. And if it's not, then we're seeing it so we can keep pushing in to comprehend, you know, what is the Lord releasing into our spirits to bring us into His freedom during this time. How many people have felt within the past week or week and a half that the enemy has kind of attacked them in the areas of walking, that the Lord has, you know, been doing stuff in their lives in this class? How many people have had a real kind of counterattack where they felt the enemy just saying, no way, I am not going to give this area up in your life? That would be very... I would be so shocked if honestly, you didn't have that. I would be, because it's just totally not like the enemy to not do that, okay? So when the enemy does, why would the Spirit of God be leading us to talk about this now? Because next week we're going to be getting some freedom, and we already are getting the true freedom by walking out of agreement. But the enemy's going to probably do his darndest to convince you that you're not out of agreement this week, and that you're a failure, and that you're not ready for deliverance, and that you're in no place to say that you can live without this. But he can only do that to us if we listen to him in his realm. That's why I said, how can you make that failure a victory? Because he's going to say, look at you, you cussed under your breath over that person. You feel like hurting somebody when it comes to that stronghold. You're nowhere ready to be a spirit realm person, get free from the sense realm. Now, that is Satan talking to you straight from his realm, trying to ensnare you so you can't embrace oneness with Jesus by grace through faith. Say this, by grace through faith, not by the works of my flesh in the sense realm. Everybody write it down. By grace through faith, not by the work of my flesh in the sense realm. You know, the enemy is dead serious on keeping us locked in a little noose hold all the days of our life. Jesus is more than serious. He has given us the victory. He has defeated this foe. No matter how serious or set on destroying us the enemy is, God has already defeated this foe. It is the good fight of faith, not the work of the flesh. The good fight of not the works of the flesh, but of faith. Faith means that we lift up our eyes from our condition in the earth, and we embrace the condition God declares us to be in His Son. And that is the tenet I want you guys to walk on this week before next week. I'm not asking you to go out there in eternal warfare and beat up everything in your life that is in relationship to this stronghold. Wouldn't it be awesome if really Satan just was a tool and a worker for God, and that Jesus was Lord above all principalities and powers and angels and dominions and mights, including Satan? And that Him bringing up these areas in your life this week would only be bread for you to practice not identifying with something that's coming straight at you in your emotions, straight at you in your thoughts, and say, I don't fight there. I don't identify there. I don't get my victory there. Now, when we started the class, y'all have been awesome. Y'all are so precious, and I'm proud of every single one of you. You're doing so good, and I am still the slowest sheep in this, because I've been doing this for, you know, 10 years, okay? But we didn't understand what victory would be if we still failed. You know, we were still not quite into that understanding. How many have faith that we can embrace that today and start applying it? That the victory isn't how we do in the circumstance. It's our faith that stays united to Jesus despite manifestation. I knew someone who had a problem with overeating. And the enemy would latch onto them and say, you glutton, you horrible, you know, sick little overeater. And it was literally a spirit of, you know, of gluttony that would attach to this person because they would eat for comfort. And the counsel this person got for getting free wasn't to just abstain from cookies and never eat a cookie again. And if you can do that for months on end, you have been freed from this gluttonous cookie evil spirit that attaches to you and makes you eat. The counsel that was given was sit there and eat those cookies. And as you're stuffing those cookies into your little face, go, I'm not in agreement with that demon of overeating. Jesus set me free on his cross. No matter how much I eat these cookies, I am not in agreement with the demon of overeating. I am in union with Christ based on what he did. And that person got free from overeating by that method. Because I am that person. No, but is that not the most weird way of getting free? But it's the same. What I'm saying is your victory isn't in your willpower. Otherwise, you're supposed to be Jesus. You're supposed to overcome sin and death. You're supposed to be stronger than sin. You are not stronger than it. You are not the hope of glory. Jesus is. And our only way of getting his victory into our lives is just say, I'm with you. I agree with you. How can two walk together lest they agree? He doesn't say, how can two walk together lest they stop eating cookies and say, I'll never eat cookies. You don't. I am eating my cookies because I cannot help it. I am a little weak little, you know, soulish, carnal Christian. But I am one with you. And as I join into you and tap into you by faith and an identity and agreement, someday I will not sit here and devour cookies to find fullness. I will actually find you as my fullness. Until that day comes, I am going to walk in union with you by faith through grace because it's true in the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now that's the truth for every stronghold in our lives. Remember when we talked about Jericho? And we're saying, you know, we're just going to walk around it and say, I'm one with Jesus, na 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 boo boo, I'm one with Jesus, there's nothing you can do. And they're going, come on, throw a stone at me, come on, come over here with your axe and just try to whip me down. No, the Lord's like, just carry that ark, sing songs, be one with Jesus. Surround that stronghold with the reality that you already raised up above it. That is not your city. Your city is the New Jerusalem from above. You're not a citizen of Jericho. You're a citizen of the New Jerusalem. That place doesn't exist, even if it's shouting in your face and throwing stones out of the windows. And you do that for 7 days. 7 days where you just say, I'm not going to touch you with carnal warfare. I'm not going to sit and do hand-to-hand combat with you. I'm not going to make you. I am not going to make you go away. I'm going to embrace that you have gone away, even though there's 7 stories of brick looking down at me. Fortified city. But Jesus brought you down when he made an open show of principalities and powers, rising up triumphantly, triumphing over them and his eternal God-powered resurrection from among the dead. He made an open show of those strongholds when he put them under his feet. No matter how tall, how fortified, how real, how three-dimensional, they are gone. They are dust. They have been flattened at the cross. So you just walk around it. And it's going to entice you. Satan's going to want to bring you into his realm. He can't get you if you don't come into his realm. Have you ever seen those movies where there's 2 bullies and the guy's just going, come on, man, right here. Come on, you know you want to. You know you got to. You just, come on. And what he's trying to do is get him to take the first punch so he can just start this massive fight and bloody him up and cause havoc. Satan knows he can't really engage in a little tete-a-tete with us unless we take that first punch and really get going. Then he gets us all entangled and snared in his web of confusion and identity in the earth and freak out, emotional darkness and insanity and all the junk that this realm brings into our being. But he's got to draw you in. Come on, take one punch. And you have to say, no, I am not going to fight that way. My victory is through Jesus, by faith, and what he did already to you are under my feet. Okay, well, let's say he entices you and you take a swing. And you really just lay there on the ground, beat up and bloodied and bruised, because you got sucked in once again to his little thing that he always gets you on. Like Nicole said, make it a victory. I am not of this realm. Though every bone in my body hurts because I jumped into this thing and went nuts like a big dummy. And I hate that I did it because I feel like junk right now. I am one with Jesus. And my goodness, if I can agree with the spirit realm feeling like this, when can I not agree with the spirit realm? I mean, this is the time to show Satan I really am out of agreement, because anybody else would agree that they are, you know, loser and in the sense realm. But I'm not, because it's not on how I act. It's based on what's true. Settled. Can you say the word settled? It's settled. That's what I love. You know, when it says we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in Ephesians, I like to say, we are permanently settled into Christ. We think of seated as, you know, we just get these religious stock. We are permanently seated into Christ. Permanently settled in his heart. It's a permanent settling into the Son. No one's going to take you out of that. Nothing's going to pull you from that. It is an eternal work of God that you had nothing to do and cannot reverse. You are permanently settled there. Therefore, in your most idiotic, demonic, often to the sense realm, manifestation of carnal junk moment, you can identify there. And it's a victory when you do so. And you can stand up in front of my gentry and say, I'm the most carnal, sense realm mess in this room. But I believe I'm one with Jesus and that I am not of that junk that I have, you know, defiled myself with, and I want to say yes to Jesus and no to that, and I'm ready for some of these creepy crawlers to get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Get out! Watch out, they start coming now. You see what I mean? There is coming to you right now. No, you see what I'm saying? Because why? Because it's not about your strengths, your victories. It's about his victory. And if we can stay on that basis, then you guys are going to be ready for next week. If you're going to spend this whole week trying to overcome every last jot and tittle of your little areas that God's helping us with, or big areas, precious areas of being made free in, then we're all going to walk into this classroom next week and go, oh man, boy, everyone else did good, but I sure blew it. You'll just have to put on the fakey, oh, I don't know. You won't even want to come to class. You'll be like, oh, gosh, what a nightmare. I have to sit through this ordeal. Because I've got this wacko teacher to make something happen in my life. But if you embrace that, you can come in here. It doesn't matter how you did. It matters where was your heart identity. Did you just maintain I am one with Jesus based on his settled fact in his heart? That is a huge step. That's a Jericho March step. That's the real way to start taking the land. You know, the first, and I know I told you all this, the first stronghold that they encountered when they walked into the promised land was Jericho. It was the first fruit of how to overcome the enemy in the land. It was the first fruit. Like, in the sense that it was like an example of how to do this, how to walk into this giant-filled, stronghold-filled land full of enemies that God says is flowing with milk and honey and is yours. And he said, don't fight. It's yours. Every last foot of that land is yours. No matter how loud Goliath shouts in your face, it's yours. He's an uncircumcised heathen. It belongs to you. I've defeated him. He's trying to freak you out. He's trying to intimidate you. He's a bully. Don't take it. Don't take it. Use the sword of the Spirit. Speak the word of God. Release that rock of faith. Be settled in the fact that this is yours. Put your foot there, the foot of faith. Amen? That's what we have. That's what we have now in our corner. You know, if I was in a boxing match and I was Satan over there with his realm, and I was me over here, or us over here with our realm and all that God's given us, dude, we got this match won. And if he, how many matches is it like? How many times around? How many rounds? How about, if it goes to the end, 12? If Satan whoops us up for 11 rounds, okay, what we've got is so strong in our realm that it just takes one round doing it the right way, even if it's round 12, and we win the whole match. I mean, we can get beat up the whole time, but the minute we use the stuff that God gave us in the spirit realm, we win the whole match. What we have in our corner is that powerful. We have the victory in our corner. He has the defeat. He has only defeat in his corner and only deception to win it by. He has defeat and deception to punch us with. We have victory and reality to react with. Who's going to win that match? It's ours. We already won it. The only way we can lose it is if we go in there and get deceived and defeated based on believing the sense realm. It's the only way you can lose that match. It's the only way. God's fought the battle. God's given us the victory. It's ours to walk it out by faith, not by punching him out, but by applying the reality with faith. It's not hand-to-hand combat. It's not a boxing match. It's only a boxing match when we go in there and fight with Satan in his own realm. We have this in our pocket. The Lord is with us. We can take the land. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Isn't that what Joshua said when they're going to go into the land? How about let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and just read there for a minute. Let's see. Let's go to verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. Let's go to verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Amen. Those are words that are spoken as they are about to enter in and walk out the spirit realm reality on planet Earth. But they're walking in the spirit, and they were bringing in the truth as it is in Jesus in their walk. They were bringing in the truth as it is in Jesus into their walk, and they were possessing that was already given to them. That's as practical as it gets. This is fulfilled. These scriptures don't really have meaning until in our lives we begin to walk in the spirit, embrace the spirit realm reality as we practically walk through these things, believing and embracing the word of the cross and the victory of the cross and the reality of our oneness with Christ. This is Jesus. That's what Joshua means, telling his own body, be strong, be courageous. You're my body. You're my bride. You're my flesh and my bones. I'm with you wherever you go because you're me now. We're one now. Where could you go that I won't be there? What could you enter into that I am not your life? If it's in the water and then in the fire, fear not, I will be with you. I will be in you. We are one now. I am your victory. I am your life. Identity. So sweet, isn't it? Just so sweet. And so, those who could hear the voice of God, those who could hear his speaking what's true to him, what's true in his realm, they find ascendancy like Jacob's ladder out from this earth and into heavenly places. They can find it a way to not have to be stuck into these dark pits where Satan beats up on us. We have an ascendancy. We have a way. We have a way to get free by beginning to open up in our hearts. Open up, let our ground be broken, and embrace that he has made us one with him. And he has raised us out of this dark place. He has set our feet in a large room, a large place. And He has brought us into Himself and into His life. We don't have to make that happen. We just have to say, yes, I'm with You. I receive it by faith. Be it unto me according to Thy word. And so that was going to be the second half of the class, but it came in the first half. So that's our preparation for next week. Does anyone have a comment before I just read the last chapter of the book so we can make sure we cover it before this class is over? Anybody have any comments or thoughts? We can pray before we dismiss, but I think who could summarize what they felt the Holy Spirit was encouraging us with today before next week? Does anyone have just a summary of what they felt the Spirit was saying to us today? Anyone else? Just a summary of what... Why would we say that? So we can encourage our brethren. Anyone have just a summary of what they feel the Spirit saying to us? Give in when you give up your identity because you're doing it. That's
so good.
What other summaries do we have of what the Spirit's saying to us? Because we are His body, and there may be pieces that you have as a member for the whole. Amber, did you have something? Josiah, did you have any kind of a sense of some part of a summary, what the Spirit's saying to us that might encourage everyone else? Wonderful. That's just wonderful. Okay, let me read this and do me a favor. If you feel it in your heart, would you consider praying for one another throughout this week to prepare for next Thursday? I think that would be a really precious thing if we could do that for one another. Okay. This last chapter is very short. It's called Waiting on God. And I'm going to read through it. And it's 2 pages pretty much, and try to just let the Lord minister to you through that. If you follow the Lord long enough, you will eventually experience a time of dryness in your life. You seek the Lord for direction, but get nothing. We fall into fear because we are not trusting the Lord. It is a lack of trust based on a lack of knowing Jesus. Because we don't see solutions, we assume there is no one in control. Our own viewpoint and our reasoning patterns take us into fear and doubt. The longer we meditate on the problem, the worse the reasonings get. We move into fear, which establishes unbelief, which causes us to blame God for not caring. We question everything because we have no answers, but our questions are in the form of murmuring and accusation. Strongholds are built. We are fearful about not knowing what is happening, and we can't figure it out. There are times people ask, "What are you doing?" My explanation is waiting. Did you know that waiting is doing something? God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He not only gives the revelation of what He wants, but He gives the performing of it. He doesn't give desire and then frustrate you by not giving the wherewithal to bring it about. There are times we are to act on the knowledge we have and walk in the light, but there are also times we are to simply trust. There are areas of danger that can affect us if we are not willing to wait. We can move into presumption. Presumption is acting when we haven't clearly heard from God and we know it. Faith is acting on what we know and have heard. You cannot operate in faith without knowing the revealed will of God, for that is what brings faith. But when you don't know what to do, it is not a time for faith action, but a time for trust. Don't be expecting a lot of direction when God is not directing. Just trust. If the cloud is not moving, quit trying to find the direction of God, for there is none. Waiting is trusting with expectation, but not in a passive manner. We are not just enduring dryness and holding on till someone comes and saves us. You are actively trusting the Lord and His goodness. God loves it when we can have confidence in Him and believe in His love and goodness. However, most of the time we do not want to trust. We want to comfort our souls in the form of an adequate explanation. For example, you know, we may say, "Lord, I'm afraid if I don't get deliverance right now, I'll never stop eating cookies. And you said that I would be completely free. You must lie. And I'm bitter towards you for that. And now I'm going to eat twice as many cookies." Instead of saying, "Lord, you delivered me from this, and I am one with you, and your word declares it, and I am waiting upon you to bring forth your son in this area, and I am with you as that comes forth by grace. And I trust you, in your time, Jesus is going to come forth in this area." Do you see what I mean? Waiting is trusting with expectation, but not in a passive manner. When we are not just enduring dryness and holding on till someone comes and saves us. You are actively trusting the Lord and His goodness. God loves it when we can have confidence in Him and believe in His love and goodness. However, most of the time we do not want to trust. We want comfort for our souls in the form of an adequate explanation. Our lack of trust causes us to believe wrong things about God. Our thoughts run wild when we have no explanations. The Amplified Bible quotes Psalm 106 in this way: "Israel did not earnestly wait for His plans to develop." During those times, we must learn to captivate our thoughts, then we must replace them with God's thoughts. We must become fully persuaded that what God promises, He performs. We must become confident of this very thing, a steady confidence that God's plans and promises to you will happen, and you are simply waiting for them to develop. There is a confidence that if He began, He will complete. This must be established as a thought pattern and cast down any thought contrary. God develops His plan in stages. Don't doubt through the stages and times when dryness, storms, or nothing seems to be happening. Believe Him and wait for His plans to develop. If you murmur, you are not waiting and trusting. He knows you have problems. Trust that He knows that. He will never leave you or forsake you. But if you begin to panic, you are not trusting, but taking thought for the things of this life. Don't cast away your confidence. Cast the thought down. Trust that the Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeks for Him. It is good that a man both hope and quietly, not murmuring, wait for the salvation of the Lord. You must calm and quiet your soul and wean it from needing any other proof other than you know and trust in the goodness of God and His love for you. Instead of crying because you cannot bring forth because you are barren, rejoice. Instead of scheming and seeking to bring forth Ishmael, rejoice and wait for God to bring him forth. Bring it forth. If you cut off all other means, then the promise can only come through the Spirit in God's time. The common practice of the soul man is to initiate, even if it's wrong. Waiting and trusting is almost impossible. But Ishmael persecutes Isaac. The war is within. One is called to be heir, and the other one seeks it and claims it as his because he was there first, or because he is the heir of the flesh. The spirit man must overthrow the soul man and establish Jesus in his rightful place. Hagar will keep producing babies unless you cut her out. The Hagar mentality is the real problem. Don't give her seed by allowing her to conceive. If you conceive your Hagar ideas, plans, and babies, then God will allow you to live with them and raise them until they are old enough to be on their own. We are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You are not of the soul. You do not have to claim a Hagar mentality. You are a child of promise. You can trust in the promise of God. Who does he teach knowledge and make to understand doctrine? To those who are weaned from the milk. The soul wants the comfort of the flesh. Pacifiers are not considered growth. When you do not wait on God, there's only one thing left. You psych out. Your soul takes control. God has for us an established end. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. And I just think that there's so much in that chapter. But you know, this book is so rich. I mean, it's just loaded. Every time I go through it, it overwhelms me, the depth each sentence holds within it of the Lord's heart and practical answers from his spirit reality. And that is just loaded. But, you know, we want to, the Holy Spirit's emphasizing certain things for us during this time. And so I've tried to be as in tune as possible, although I know I lack greatly. And I'm sorry for that. But by the grace of God and through his life, we've been trying to find his heart together. And I just think, you know, when we consider waiting on the Lord, it just means that our answer and our expectation comes from him. And our soul is wanting the earth to produce it, or our manifestation in our bodies to produce it. We can't just patiently wait on the Lord and embrace that he is true and that what he says is true, and let God, by promise, bring forth Isaac in our lives, and that we abide with him, faithful, knowing his heart, believing in his goodness, seeing what he says, seeing his reality, and just saying, I am not Lord. I am not able to make any changes. The change has come in your son, and you will deliver me. You will bring the answer in your time. My soul waits upon you. My heart trusts in you. Your realm is my realm. Your word is my comforters. Your heart is true. You are faithful. You are able. You are Lord. You are in control. The heavens are ruling the earth. The heavens rule, in the sense realm doesn't. And in God's time, he will make a way. And he has made the way, even when it hasn't manifest yet. And you just begin to wean your soul so that you can rest in the spirit realm reality without accusing God, misinterpreting his love, and demanding things to happen in your time. That you can be like a bride that's really with him, really come away to his heart, join with him in faith, wait upon his timing, love him regardless of what he does for you, and when he does it for you. It's just the sweetness of being liberated from making him have to do things in our time on planet Earth, in our lives, so that our souls can feel happy. But that we really bring this thing full circle and say, we're with you in your realm as your bride in your timing. And we trust you and are with you until then. Isn't that just beautiful? This is a sweet chapter to end with, and I think that's the spirit of it. Although there's so much there to really dig into and to drink of, but I think the sweet essence of what the heart behind that is saying is that we can be with him in his realm and just wait upon the Lord as a bride. not let this realm govern our souls and govern the way we are with our sweet Jesus and our Father. We're not controlled by this realm. We are with the Lord from above. So let's just pray and continue on in prayer throughout this week, one for another, as we set our hearts to be with the Lord in His grace. Father, we just thank You for caring for us so deeply and for giving us these words, these ways of looking at things and not being trapped by our own sense of duty and our own sense of making the change be down here first and all the things that keep us bound up far away from You, far away from reveling in the glorious union that You've already given us, from drinking in the wine, from drinking in the sweet communion of resurrection oneness with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, with the corporate body. We are always limited on every side because we feel so bound to our experiences and our state in this earth, in this time, in this space, in this maturity level that we're in. But You've liberated us from those chains. You've broke us free from having to be bound into this identity down here. You've called us Your own. You've brought us into union. You've given us the fullness of all that You are in oneness through this resurrected new man. You are the vine. We are the branches that bear that fullness. The union has happened. We abide in You. We find our place in You. We graft in. In faith we join with. Oh Lord, just open up the Word of God. Open up the springs from Your sweet fountain that we can drink deeply from the wells of salvation and know the truth as it is in Jesus, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, the height, the depth, the length, the width, rooted and grounded in a love that cannot be shaken by this realm or Satan's evil plans within it, but that we are far above this earth, safe in God's haven, in His Son. Lord, do what we cannot do. Open our eyes to see Jesus, who is our life now. Open the Scriptures that we might behold wonderful things that are too good for us to see, unlawful for us to see, but the truth that is our reality now. Holy Spirit, I ask You to overshadow each one, to bring to remembrance the things You shared with us, the things that will help liberate us from the dark chains we've had. I ask You to inspire them by life, to pray for one another, to prepare them. We just give You such a thank offering from our hearts. Thank You for all You've shared. We're not worthy for one bit of it, but You share and You call us one with Jesus. You treat us like His body and His bride. And we just don't want to forget that sweet grace that You've given us to love us and respect us and care for us in this way. We cherish Your love. Have Your way in us. We just thank You for this time. Seal it now through all the years of our lives. May it continue to bring forth fruit by grace through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.